Today's scripture comes from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Now, when the human one comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And those who are righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." Then he will say to those on the left, "Get away from me, you who will receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't welcome me. I was naked and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't do anything to help you?" Then he will answer, "I assure you that when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous ones will go into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you'd all bow your heads and pray for me and with me this morning. Gracious God, it is very good to be here. It is good to be gathered with people who are seeking you like I am. And so I pray, God, now that you would bring your spirit, that you would take the words that I have prepared and that make them yours as only you can, and help us rely on you in all of this. And this I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So I'm going to start with a confession, which, you know, they say is good for the soul. I don't know if any of you do this. Sometimes when I just need to be distracted from, I don't know, life for a while, I play Doodle Jump. Have you ever played Doodle Jump? It's on your phone. It's a lesser-known game. It is strangely addicting, which is probably why I shouldn't do it. But it is, you just take your phone and you tilt it, and this little alien creature with the four legs jumps from platform to platform, and the whole goal of the game is to get to the top. And if you get to the top, you win. I have never seen the top. I don't think it actually exists, but you tilt it, and you think you're doing really well because it's easy and you're scooting along, but then, as there always are in games, there are obstacles. There are explosions that go off. There are broken platforms. There are monsters, spaceships that will beam you away, and so you have a problem. But good news, as there always is in these games, there are helps that you can get. My favorite help is the jetpack. It's just this little jetpack that if you land on the right platform, the jetpack magically appears on your back and you go zooming up into the air past explosions and monsters and broken platforms with ease. And it's just such a good feeling. And I have often wished that faith had a jetpack, that I could just strap onto my back whenever things weren't going the way that I wanted them to go, whenever I felt like I was a little bit farther away from Jesus than I should be. I thought, how about a faith jetpack? I could just jump and off we would go, Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? I haven't found a faith jetpack yet. A few months ago, I was in this time period when I was just feeling flat and uninspired. Nothing, it was nothing terrible. I didn't have anything big that should have caused this in me, but I just didn't feel as close to Jesus as I wanted to be. It wasn't very easy to pray, and it wasn't very easy to read my scripture. It was actually easier not to do it. But good news, I'm a pastor. I am trained in this, and I know you should keep doing that. And so I did. I kept praying, and I kept reading my Bible, and it was kind of like, the least of these, that's kind of interesting. But nothing was, like, it wasn't resonating with me. And I was like, come on, God, let's do this. And it was during this time period that Helping Children Worldwide called me and said, we'd like for you to lead a team, a mission team to Sierra Leone, Africa, to be with people in one of the poorest countries of the world. And I thought, really? Right now? You're asking me to do this. Okay. So I prayed, and I didn't pray with a lot of vigor, but, you know, I'm a professional, so I kept praying. And I felt God say yes. And I said, really? Like, okay, but I had caveats. So I called HCW, and I said, I will lead your team if my dear friend Susan will co-lead the team with me. I will lead the team if I can only miss one Sunday. I can only be gone one Sunday because, heaven forbid, I should miss two Sundays, right? And that's my thing, not anybody else's. I will go if you will use my gifts in a way that is unique to my gifts. And you know what they said? Yes. And I said, okay, I'm going to Africa. That'll be great. And we started meeting over the summer, and we met with a team. We had a great team. There were about 10 of us. But I just really wasn't convinced I was going to go to Africa, right? I was like, this is not happening, God. And then four people had to drop out. And I said, see, this is definitely not happening. And then we're getting closer to the trip, and then Susan found out that her sister was gravely ill. And she wouldn't be able to travel, which was absolutely the right thing. But I assumed that was another sign that I wouldn't be going. So you can imagine my surprise to find myself at Dulles Airport on October 17th going to Africa with a group of people. And here we are. We're kind of a motley crew. That's Charlie Kendall. He is a filmmaker, myself, Methodist pastor, Gloria, who is a holiness minister, Dr. Carol, OBGYN, and Minister Jackie, who is an educator and also a holiness minister, and of course, I'm the Methodist pastor. It was really an interesting group of people together, and just like God, it is just like God to say, here you are, and by the way, here's your jetpack. And I swear, I felt God put a jetpack on my back called Serve, and he launched me, not over the hardships and the muck of life, but right smack into the middle of it. We went right to Sierra Leone, and it was the most amazing trip. And I'm not supposed to tell you the end of the sermon now, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint. I hope that by the time we finish this morning, you all are ready to strap on a jetpack of Serve, because it's the most amazing thing. We've been talking about taking the next step, right? We talked about worship. You need to take the next step in worship, the next step in growth and spiritual growth, and today we're talking about Serve. And so I'm there in the airport, Dulles Airport, and you get to know people very quickly when you travel across the world with them. So everything takes time, and you get to know each other, and all the niceties are gone, and you're real with people. And so I asked the team, I said, why do you serve? Why do you serve? Why do you take yourself halfway across the world, meet people you don't really know, probably won't be seeing again? It's not the easiest thing in the world. Why do you serve? And here's what they taught me. Serving others changes our world. Serving others changes our world. I talked to Minister Gloria. I said, Minister Gloria, why do you serve? And she looked at me and she quoted Matthew 25, the scripture that Debbie read this morning. She said, if I understand the scripture correctly, Jesus told us that when we serve the least of these, we serve him. And then she says, how could I not serve the Jesus I love so deeply, the Jesus who gave up everything to serve me? That kind of talk just rolls off Gloria's tongue. She's Pentecostal. These three women that I met, they're from the House of the Lord Holiness Church. They're Pentecostal. And what that means is when you're Pentecostal, you pray like this, and when you're Methodist, you kind of pray like this, right? So there's a big difference. Both are fine. I have nothing against either one, but it was kind of a challenge. We're like, okay, we're going to be Pentecostal on this trip. And And so one day, I was sitting in the team room, and it was really hot. I am not complaining, but maybe a little. It was so hot on this trip, and the power was on, which is something that doesn't always happen, the ceiling fan. I was just like, oh, this is really good. And Jackie and Gloria and Carol, they burst into the room, and they pulled me from my favorite spot, and they put their arms, and we have our arms around each other. Our foreheads are literally touching, and they said, we have to pray. We have to pray right now, because Carol got bad news about a patient. We have to pray for her. And boy, did we pray. And did I mention they were Pentecostal and I was Methodist? Like, we are praying all up and down this woman who I don't know, and it's amazing. Oh, we also had someone on the phone. I don't know where she was. She was somewhere. I think she was in Grenada, which is where Carol had come from. And so we're all praying for this woman, and Gloria prays, and Jackie prays, and Carol prays, and they're like, oh, dear. And then it's me. I'm like, dear God. But no, I loosened up a little bit. I loved it. I loved it. And here's what's so interesting. They changed my world. And here's what's fascinating about serving. When you go and serve, you think, oh, I am going to change because I'm serving you, because you need me. I'm going to change because of this relationship. And again, just like God, God says, no, actually, that's not. You're going to change because you're going to meet me and you're going to stretch yourself. You change because you put yourself in new situations and with people who are different from you, and you allow the Holy Spirit to work. When you're someplace you aren't usually, when you're outside of your comfort zone, you are generally more receptive to what's happening. And they taught me how to pray in a new way. They taught me the drop everything and pray right now kind of prayer. They taught me the I don't care how comfortable you are, we are praying right now and we're not stopping until the Spirit tells us to stop. So it was through going on this trip that God definitely sent me on that I was changed. Your world changes, it gets bigger. And instead of seeing only what is in front of you, what you're used to seeing and used to doing, you see this new depth of color and clarity, and it is remarkable, and you will want to serve more and more and more. And you'll be saying, God, just make that jetpack go even faster and even higher and even bigger, and it changes your world. But serving doesn't just change your world. Serving changes the world. You see, when you allow yourself to be changed, then you have the ability to actually step into the mess of this world and help effect change for good. And that's where the scripture of today comes in. Jesus, you remember the parable, he separates the sheep from the goats, and the sheep are on his right side, and they're good, and the goats are on the left side, and they're not so good, and it is a pretty stern parable. But Jesus tells us this parable not just to frighten us into believing through this scary talk of unending fire. Jesus is trying to show us how compassion changes the world. Jesus' entire ministry is about teaching those who will listen that compassion changes the world. Jesus is about teaching what it means. Jesus' world is about a peaceful kingdom where the sick are cured, where the despised are welcomed, where the hungry are fed. It means paying attention to the least of these. And can I let you in on a little secret? We are all the least of these. At some time in our life, we are the least. We are sick or hungry or naked or in prison or lost. You remember Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. I was sick and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the sheep don't get it. The sheep are like, but when? But when did we do that? And then the king says to them, when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me. When you show compassion, you do it for me. The sheep are blessed because they know Jesus, because they have seen him as a king who is different from the other rulers of this world. This King Jesus operates out of compassion and hears the cry of the oppressed. In this kingdom, no one is hungry or sick or alone. In this kingdom, in this peaceful kingdom, compassion compels us to serve others, not so we will go to heaven, but because we can't help but do anything else. Because you've been changed. Your world has changed, and when your world changes, you can't help but want to change the rest of the world. You know this. Many of you know this. That's why you're here at Floris. One of the things I love about you all, about this church, is your desire to serve. You are drawn to it. You heard Ashley. She prayed for 12 of you going to Virginia Beach to help with hurricane relief. 50 of you participate in our English as a second language ministry. Last Sunday, I sat in the gathering space. 41 of you came to package Help Hungry Kids meals. There are 75 of you on a roster that send cards to people who are sick or are hurting or for some reason. And then there's these. I think these are amazing. These are prayer blankets, prayer shawls, prayer whatever you want to call them. There's this group that comes together, and they come together once a month, and they knit, they crochet, or they quilt. And while they're doing this, they are praying for you. They are praying for the sick, the grieving, the lost, and the lonely. And when they're done, they package them up, and they put them in a little bag, and they give them to the pastors, and we get to take them to people who are sick and lost and hurting. We go to the hospital and visit someone and we say, hey, this is from Floris United Methodist Church and they are praying for you because they believe that you deserve compassion and you are not alone. It is a tangible and powerful reminder of Christ in the world with compassion. And we get to do that. And that's just one way you can serve. There are so many ways. In fact, there are so many ways to serve. We still don't have enough. And so here's what I want to tell you. We need you. We need all of you at home and all of you in here, because our world is hurting. We need you to teach ESL. We need you to teach our kids downstairs. We need you to come to Trunk or Treat and serve the visitors that come, and we need you to welcome them. We need you to teach students in Bible study. We need you to sing in the band, because when you sing, when the band sings and plays and uses their gifts, they bring Jesus to all of us. We need you to usher. I want to talk about the ushers for just a minute. I think they are an unsung group of people, and I don't think they know what a difference they make. So a few months ago now, it was after the 11 o'clock service, an usher came up to me, and they said, excuse me, there is a woman who is really crying in the back. Everybody else was gone pretty much, and they just said, we just want you to know that. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. You know, that's my job, and I'm a professional. So I walked up to her, and listen, people cry in worship sometimes. It is okay, and if you want to cry alone, you can do that. But I want to ask, and I said, can I help you? Is there something that I can do for you? And I expected weeping and deep sadness, and she looked at me with this smile on her face through the tears, and she said, I need to thank you. I said, well, tell me why. And she said, my life fell apart last week. And she told me about it, and it did. Terrible hardship in her life. And she said, I woke up and I thought, I'm going to go to church. I need to go to church, but I don't want to go to church, but I'm going to go to church. So she said, I came and I pulled up in the parking lot and I sat in my car for quite a while because I needed to get it together so I could at least go inside. And she said, I was late. She said, but in the parking lot, people greeted me. And when I walked through the doors, people greeted me and said, welcome. And then I was late and I didn't know where to sit. And an usher came and said, sit here. And it's the perfect seat. I was welcomed. And what's so amazing to me is I bet the usher has no idea what he did. I bet they have no idea that they changed her life. They showed her Jesus in a way that she was desperately looking for. And that's the thing about these, some of the ministries that we serve in. You think, oh, it's just a little thing. I don't need to sign up for that. People have that. It's like, usher, I have to be early. I don't need to do that. But you make a difference. And people are desperately looking for welcome and belonging. And she got that. And this woman comes every week. She has joined a small group. She is serving in her own way. Her life has been dramatically changed because of you serving her. We need you to serve so you can change the world. It matters that you show up. And then finally, serving others is where we meet Jesus. That woman met Jesus in the usher. And the usher met that Jesus in her. Like, Jesus is everywhere. I met Jesus in Africa. I met a woman named Hannah Fofana. Yes, that is her real name. This is Hannah Fofana. She is the grandmother of Lucy, who is a child in the child support program. Hannah takes care of Lucy and seven other charges. I've got this little video that there's not sound to. I want to show you Hannah's life. Hannah lives, this is where she lives, along with lots of other people. This is her granddaughter, Lucy, and she's going to show us the room that Hannah and these seven other people live in every single day. It's really crowded. It's hard to get in there. You'll notice that many things are hung up. There's very little things on the ground. You can't really see more than that because there's nothing more to see. This is where she lives. Hannah got a microfinance loan from the Child Rescue Center, which is a very small business loan. Hannah gathers firewood. She makes charcoal. This is her making charcoal. She takes this charcoal, puts it into these little tiny bags, and then every morning she goes up to the corner on a little wooden stand and she lays her wares out and she hopes that people come and buy her wares. They cost pennies. But this is how Hannah takes care of all of her charges. Hannah has this fierce spirit. I so enjoyed meeting Hannah. She was just so much fun. And after the interview, after we finished the filming and the interview, Charlie was off filming something else, and I went over to Hannah. I said, Hannah, you're famous in America. And she said, what do you mean? I said, we have a song about you. And she said, really? I said, yeah. I said, it's Hannah, Hannah, ho, Hannah, hee, hi, ho, Hannah, Hannah, Fofana. And she went, I love it. And like only Sierra Leoneans can do, she turned around like that and she went, Barbar, Barbara, you come from America. You are my friend, Barbara. And I was like, you are awesome. Like, I fell in love with her. And then that evening, we were done filming, and we left. We said goodbye to Hannah and her family, and we're eating dinner in the missionary training center, and it started to rain. And when it rains in Africa, it's like nothing you've experienced. It comes in sheets. It is pounding on the roof, and you can look out the window, and you can see the gullies filling, and the water just goes like this, and it is pouring and pouring. And all I could think of was Hannah and her family. And what were they doing? They are down in a gully like this, and the rain is pouring and rushing in. And I thought, what are they doing? Are they on the bed? Are all eight of them on the bed with her bags of charcoal so they don't get washed away? Because that's her means of living. And every minute that it rained, my heart broke just a little bit more. And I thought, God, why did you bring me here? Like, you're breaking my heart. And that's why he brought me. Because there are Hannahs everywhere in the world. There are hundreds of Hannahs in Bo, Sierra Leone, and there are hundreds of Hannahs in Herndon, Virginia, and in Centerville, and in Loudoun, and Fairfax. There are Hannahs everywhere, and they are desperately looking for somebody to bring the good news of Christ and the good news of help to them. And the only way that we can find these Hannahs is if we strap on a jetpack called serve and go and meet them. Put ourselves in the places where they are and where we should be. I want you to put on a jetpack. You may never go to Africa. You may never serve overseas. But Jesus is just as much in Hannah as Jesus is in the child in Kid Nation downstairs who needs a teacher, who is in the student in the ESL program, who is in the woman in the pew, who is the cancer patient in the hospital. Jesus is in all of those people. And Jesus is in you and me. And we are called to minister to the least of these. And one day we will be the least. Like in our lifetime, in your lifetime, one day you will be the least of these. And I cannot tell you what a blessing it is to have someone come and say, hey, I'm here. I want to teach you English. I want to pray with you in the hospital. I want to teach you what the Bible says. I want to greet you in the parking lot. I want to give you a bulletin. And you do it all in the name of Jesus, because that's what we are called to do. Jesus is everywhere. So in your bulletin, like we have been doing for these weeks, it's on the back page this time. Take it out and take a look at it. And it is something for you to pray over. And isn't it nice we have communion this week, because you have time during the service to pray about this. And it says, I will ask God to guide me toward new opportunities of service. I will find at least one way to serve the vulnerable. I will serve others at Florist by becoming an usher or a greeter. I will take the next step. I can't tell you what a difference it makes in your life. Please don't be as reluctant as I was to lead a team, whether it's a team of ushers or a team of missioners or a team of children. Serve. And I'm going to offer you one way to serve the vulnerable. These blankets, the pastors have this blessing of taking them to people and seeing their faces. And if you see their faces, it's like they won the lottery. Somebody cares for them, not just in the visit, but all the time. And if you have someone in your life that you know needs to know that they are being prayed for, you are welcome to take a blanket with you. But I have caveats. You can take the blanket, but you must promise to give it to them and say, this is from Florist United Methodist Church, and you are being prayed for because Jesus loves you. You have to say you're being prayed for and Jesus loves you. And then you have to send me an email with what happened. But they're here to take. If we run out, we've got more, and they will make more. They are very prolific. But it's one way. It's not the only way. You all won't do it, but it is one way. And some of you, I had a man come up to me after the 8 o'clock service. The 9:15 service was about to start, and he said, I was sitting in the gathering space, and I knew I should take one to somebody, but I didn't want to do that. And God just kept hitting me on the side of the head and said, go take the blanket. So he came running down right before the service started and grabbed one and said, I just took it. It's going to bless someone. Ashley's going to come forward. We're going to prepare to receive Holy Communion. And listen, my prayer is that as you pray, you feel God saying to you, put on the jetpack and serve. It might be a little step or it might be a big step, but everybody can take the step. Amen.